The draft bill in circulation is called the Teacher Protection Act. It includes 11 specific initiatives aimed at maintaining classroom decorum. Jeremy Thiesfeld is a Republican state representative from Fond du Lac, chair of the Assembly Education Committee, and a former teacher. He's the author of this bill known as the Teacher Protection Act. Representative Thiesfeld, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, can you give us a working knowledge of the Teacher Protection Act? What does it do?
Yeah, sure, I can do that. You used the number 11 there. I actually hadn't counted them up, so that's the first time I've heard that number, so I appreciate you doing that. I guess 10 would have been a nice round number, but we came up with 11, I guess. Well, it kind of goes under the theme of, I've used this often, the school safety is not just for kids. We've had a growing problem, and I believe statistics show that across the country. And it has hit Wisconsin as well, and it's mostly in our urban areas where teachers are not feeling safe in their classrooms. And we seem to have escalating physical problems and threats of violence that are coming from students aimed at teachers. And so in order to deal with that problem, I brought forward this piece of legislation that, like you said, does 11 different things. Some of them are minor, and some of them, frankly, are kind of a big deal. So just to give you an example of some of the things that it would do, first of all, I think it's important that teachers should know what their rights are within the classroom. And so we're requiring the state's Department of Public Instruction and, in turn, each of the school districts to, on an annual basis, make teachers aware of what their rights are by posting them on their websites. And some of those rights are already part of law, and perhaps teachers aren't even aware of them, so they would hear that on an annual basis. And then some of these rights are being added by this particular bill. So that's the first requirement that we did, and that's kind of where the bill all started. And as that got rolling, we just kind of started coming up with some other things that we wanted to attempt to get into law as well. One of them had to do with behavioral records of students. Every student has a file that is supposed to follow them from school to school. And in that file is to contain their academic progress records, as well as any kind of disciplinary or behavioral records that are experienced in school. And a lot of times teachers seem to struggle to be able to get hold of that information, particularly the behavioral records. Now, I would say that a teacher who does not have a particular student in their classroom really shouldn't have that access to that material. But a teacher is going to be able to better teach their student if they have ready access available to not just the progress reports, but also the behavioral records. Now, it doesn't mandate that teachers do that. There are some teachers out there who would prefer not to see those records. They believe in the clean slate theory of teaching, that we take each student equally and start from there, and that's fine if they have that sort of perspective. But there are many others who feel they're going to be able to do a better job of teaching that student if they have full knowledge of what their academic record is, not just in terms of progress academically, but behavior as well. So we dug into some of the behavioral records of the students. We also wanted to directly try to do something about the violence issues that seem to be growing in our school. And we have our reasons why we think that is growing. But setting that aside for a moment, we wanted to give teachers more authority to control what's going on in their classrooms. The problem that's been happening is that students have been sent out of classrooms for behavioral issues, and the usual process to that is the student marches down to the principal's office or the vice principal's office and is dealt with there. Oftentimes what has been occurring is these students are being sent right back into the classroom by the administration, and that's just an explosive situation, and that needs to stop. And so we put a provision in there that the teacher would would be allowed to keep that student out of the classroom for the remainder of that class period, as well as even into the next day. And that could change if there is a meeting between the administration and the teacher and the student to try to talk the problem through, get some assurances that something is going to change, and then the student could return.
And Representative Thiesfeld, there's also this concern that current law mandates that juvenile criminal records are sealed. And as part of this act, it would require police who take a student into custody on suspicion of a felony or a violent misdemeanor that they notify the school administrator before the next school day. What about this change in the act?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was getting to that point. That is really not something that's all that different than what is happening or what can happen now. Police already can go to the school and share that information with them. They, for varying reasons, may choose not to do that. What this would do is require them to, if a student is detained by police or arrested for a violent suspicion of a violent crime, and that's listed in the statutes as a felony or a violent misdemeanor, that they need to inform the school of that. And the reason for that is because that teacher should have the right to know if they've got a student that was suspected of a violent act just within the last 24, 48 hours. That'd be good information to you, for you to know as a teacher, not just for your own safety, but for you better being able to teach not just that student, but teach the rest of the class as well.
But it also cuts down on that student's privacy. And what is private?
Well, that, like I said, this can already happen. Police still already
have the ability to do this. It can happen, but it's not required to happen.
Correct. That is a change. That certainly is a change. But and I would question anybody to say that ultimately, the goal of school is to teach the kids well. And if the goal is to teach the kids well, wouldn't that be important information, the teacher to be able to know how better to teach that student? Obviously, that student is in a situation where there's some trauma going on in their life. The person who is in charge of that classroom might be experiencing some of the results of that trauma from that student. And that would make a change in possibly how that teacher would perhaps discipline that student, as well as possibly control the classroom, protect the classroom, and protect themselves as well.
We're talking with State Representative Jeremy Thiesfeld. He's written a draft bill that's in circulation called the Teacher Protection Act. You can join in with your questions, comments, 800-642-1234. Are you a teacher who has been assaulted or threatened by a student? How concerned are you about violence where you teach? 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Representative, you said in a news release, you said most schools would see little change since they already do fine work protecting teachers. Give us an idea of how many schools come up short.
Well, that's really hard to find. And that's also part of the bill, too, is we don't have enough data. The Department of Public Instruction does keep data on suspensions and expulsions. They do keep some data on violent attacks that occur on school grounds. But they don't keep track of who those attacks are against. And so part of the bill would be that they would have to categorize some of that violent behavior, too, so that we know how many times this is happening to teachers. And like you said, by and large, most of the schools don't have serious problems with these issues. Assume that they probably all do on occasions. But most schools are really not going to see a whole lot of change here. And it's the schools that are having the problems now who need to address this issue that this bill is particularly aimed at.
This is a draft bill. It is called the Teacher Protection Act, in part reminding teachers of their rights that they have under the law, but many teachers may not be aware of. The initiatives are in circulation for co-sponsors. The bill's author is Jeremy Thiesfeld. He stays with us. He is a Republican state representative from Fond du Lac, chair of the Assembly Education Committee, and he himself is a former teacher. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Do you support or oppose the Teacher Protection Act? Are you a teacher who's been assaulted or threatened by a student? How worried are you about violence where you teach? 800-642-1234. You can also post your comments on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll be back after this news update from NPR and WPR. Stay with us. In drafting the Teacher Protection Act, State Representative Jeremy Thiesfeld culled the most recent data from the U.S. Department of Education. The numbers tell us that a quarter of all Wisconsin teachers reported experiencing either a physical attack or being threatened with injury by a student in the previous year. Representative Thiesfeld stays with us. He's a Republican from Fond du Lac, chair of the Assembly Education Committee, and a former teacher. You can join in the discussion as well, 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go right away to Robert in Monona. Hi, Robert.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My concern was, this kind of spoke to me personally when I heard it, that the bill would potentially or would bypass the presumption of innocence. You know, an arrest or an accusation doesn't equal a conviction. And as a student, I have no criminal record now, but as a student, I was actually accused of felony arson. The child who did it, this was in high school, the child who did it accused me, and I was arrested for one day. The charges were dropped. Nothing came of it. But if that had been shared with my teachers, essentially a perp walk in front of my, you know, the people I looked up to and respected most in life, I just can't imagine how that would have affected my education. What do you think, Representative, about this, how this interplays with the guilty, you know, innocent until proven guilty aspect of our law?
Well, your name was Robert, did I hear right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, thanks for calling, Robert. Your concern is legitimate. I don't dismiss that at all. And I certainly live by that principle, too, that innocent until proven guilty. And I am open to suggestions from anybody as to how we can better inform the teachers, because I think you would admit that some of those students who, your situation, you were, the charges were not legitimate. But there are many times where those charges are legitimate, and that teacher is put in a situation where they are unaware of a potentially explosive problem that is sitting right in front of them in the class, not just for them, but for the other students. And as far as your particular situation, where you're concerned about your teachers and how they would treat you in that regard, those teachers, you know, there are good teachers and bad teachers. I like to believe that most of them, the very large majority of them, are good and well-meaning, that they are going to have more concern for your particular welfare within their classroom, and that's why it is good for them to know about that. If you've experienced some sort of trauma, guilty or innocent, like that within the last 24, 48 hours, it is good for them to be able to help you through that.
Well, Robert, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Mike in Minong. Hi, Mike, go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. And Representative, I have two things to talk with you about. The first one is, you talked about this meeting in which the teacher administration and the student would get together before the student returns to class the next day, but you did not mention parents' involvement in that meeting. That's the first thing, if you could comment on that. And the second thing is that whatever these crimes are that you're proposing be released to school officials before the following day of that crime where the police are involved, that same standard would hold true for employees of the school district, that would have to be reported to school officials as well. I'll hang up and I'll just listen to your comments related to that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. The first issue about the parent meeting, that certainly was part of our discussions as I crafted the bill and talked with varying organizations, which include the school administrators and the school boards association. And in my discussions with them, I initially had something in there about a parent meeting and knew that was problematic because, first of all, you got to be able to actually get the parents in there because sometimes they just flat out aren't going to come. And a wise suggestion came from one of those groups that was implemented in the bill that there are certain progressions that schools, in many cases, already have put in place to deal with these sorts of things. If a student is sent out of the classroom, you know, a strike one, strike two, strike three policy, I suppose you might call it. And they said that they would like to maintain those sorts of policies and that I should just kind of set a minimum standard here and then they could build off of that. So I didn't want it to be overly prescriptive, and so we left that portion out of it so that the school could set up their own way of involving the parents as they saw worked best for them. The second point was about the crimes, and you mentioned about other school employees, and I am not exactly sure who should be made aware of that. But if there is a situation, then the bill doesn't cover that. That's not a point of the bill. I'm not saying that that's necessarily a bad idea. But if a teacher is not a if it's a teacher or other school employee that is under a similar situation where they're arrested for something like that within the last 24, 48 hours, I would have no problem if the administration of that school was informed of that and that they could deal with that situation appropriately by perhaps not having that employee at work for a couple days just to be certain that the students are safe. That, I think, is maybe a wise thing for us to look into for a different bill someday.
Representative Thiesfeld, we're going to be talking with later here in the hour the Wisconsin Education Association Council, and the council says that the bill, quote, misses the mark on a number of fronts, but one of them is it does not clearly define taken into custody. So what does that mean?
Yes, they did mention that to me, and I did work at least I attempted to work with WEAC as much as I could in this bill, but they frankly kind of dawdled, put me off, refused to meet with me when I requested to do so, and then at the last second put out their opposition to the bill with a whole bunch of points. So frankly, I was to a certain extent stunned that WEAC showed a reluctance to step in and support a bill that is designed to help their constituents, teachers, across the state of Wisconsin. And that was one of their points, was they said that taken into custody was not defined. And so I took that to heart, and I called up our attorneys at the Capitol that deal with these sorts of things, and I asked them what that meant. And they said that that wording was sufficient for this cause because there are two kinds of custodies. There's legal custody, and there's physical custody. And when a student is taken into physical custody by law enforcement does not necessarily, in fact, they are not taking them into legal custody. The parents still have legal custody of that student. And so they said that by nature, that particular definition is acceptable for that situation.
Another thing is the redundancy issue in this act. WEAC points out as well that there are already many of these points that are already part of current law. So why not enforce current law?
Well, I agree it should be done. But there's no reason that we can't highlight what current law is already to try and make sure that the public realizes that this is going on. You know, part of any kind of bill that you have, and ultimately if any bill doesn't pass, the minimum standard that a legislator might have, and that certainly isn't my goal, I want my bill to pass into law, but the minimum standard a legislator might have is to raise public awareness of some problems that are going on. And if that is the case, then this will help them in that process. So I don't find that to be particularly well-founded accusation.
And so how do you feel about the prospects going forward for the Teacher Protection Act as you circulate this bill?
Well, you know, one can never tell. We put the bill out for co-sponsorship yesterday, and I think as of yesterday, legislators generally don't read those things immediately when they come out, but we had half a dozen or so co-sponsors sign on yesterday. And the bill was part of the forward agenda that our Republican caucus put forward last fall when the elections were going on. We put that agenda out to let people know these are the sorts of things we're going to try to accomplish if we're put into the majority in the legislature, and one of them was some sort of bill to protect teachers, and this is the result of that bill. So I'm thinking positively. I wouldn't put a bill out unless I thought positively that it was going to pass into law or it was going to have some sort of positive impact as it moved ahead. So I'm hoping that it can be assigned to a committee pretty quickly. And if we don't have a hearing before the end of the year, hopefully in January we'll have a hearing on the bill.
Well, Representative Thiesfeld, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Jeremy Thiesfeld is a Republican state representative from Fond du Lac, chair of the Assembly Education Committee, and a former teacher. He is the author of a bill we're learning about this hour known as the Teacher Protection Act. It's designed to help teachers be aware of their rights and to keep classroom discipline in check. Now let's bring in the perspective of the Wisconsin Education Association Council to discuss this draft bill. Ron Martin is the president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council, or WEAC, and a social studies teacher in Eau Claire. Ron, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me this morning.
What is your reaction to the Teacher Protection Act?
Well, you know, in initial thoughts, you know, the title sounds wonderful. I mean, I'm all for protecting teachers and making sure that teachers are safe in our public schools. But as you dig deep into the language of the legislation, there are some concerns from our perspective. And as we work with educators all across the state of Wisconsin, and as an educator, we already currently have legislation that protects teachers and students and our classrooms, and that needs to be enforced. So that's really kind of the big premise behind us. Why replicate something that already exists? It just needs to be enforced. It's one thing to have a law, but let's make sure that it's enforced. I think also the bill falls short on cooperation and collaboration. Public education and education of kids is all about involving families and communities, and that it falls short in being able to put those pieces into play as well.
So WEAC's education protection principles requires existing law to be enforced with regard to allowing teachers to remove students from the classroom. Essentially, you say that when a teacher kicks out a student, administrators overrule the teacher and allow that student to go back into the classroom right away. How is the law supposed to work?
Well, the law is supposed to work. It's supposed to allow for the teacher, if they have a student, based on the school or the district's classroom conduct. And most school districts have established classroom conducts that involves community, administrators, educators, all the people that are vital are involved in putting together the district's policy in regards to classroom and the behavior and what's expected of kids. And when that's not being followed, a teacher should have the right to remove a student from their classroom and then to have support of the principal or the administrator in being able to work with that student, because our ultimate goal as educators is to return that child whole to the classroom. As an educator, I don't want any of my kids out of my classroom. I want them there. But when it's impossible to do my job, or I feel that it's threatening or unsafe for the child himself or herself or the class in its entirety or myself, I think that I should be able to have that right and then the support of the principal to be able to work with so that we can get that student back to the classroom whole or get what that child needs so that they can be productive in our schools.
Let's bring in Megan in Eau Claire. Hi, Megan. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to say I'm a school social worker here in Eau Claire, and I think the missing piece with this is that we we're not looking at the root of some of these behaviors, which is closely related to trauma, which was talked about last hour. And something that I would advocate for on behalf of helping everyone in the school system, including students and their families, is communication between law enforcement and the school district in terms of when a parent has been arrested or there's been police contact at the home that a child has witnessed, because that can result in escalating behaviors that, believe it or not, we're seeing within elementary schools across the state as well. So I just wanted to mention that point. I think that would be more beneficial to providing support for the students in terms of being aware that they may be dealing with some tough issues at home, and knowing that we can approach them, maybe set up a time to meet with the counselor, just to provide that extra support for a child who may be experiencing crisis in the home. I don't think necessarily knowing whether or not a child has been involved with law enforcement directly would help in any way. Most of the time it's through the school that we're aware of law enforcement involvement with a student.
Let's get Ron to weigh in here on these out-of-school incidents and what this bill would mean for that. Ron.
Sure, and I really appreciate some of Megan's comments there, because everything she said had so much merit as to what could happen. The out-of-school incidences, the very, very concerning. Trauma-informed decisions by educators and administrators is incredibly important. We have to be able to know what's going on in a child's life, but I think there's also a fine line between that pipeline into other situations that might be traumatic or horrible for a particular student. So I think involved with our law enforcement is critically important, but I think that we have to work as a team collaboratively and work mostly with our counselors and our social workers in our schools. And that's where I think sometimes we fall short. We don't have enough counselors and we don't have enough social workers in our schools.
Megan, thanks for calling in. Ron, how will the Teacher Protection Act, if it goes forward, disproportionately affect students of color?
Yeah, I think we have so much research out there that looks at black boys particularly are more at risk at being disciplined in schools, and this kind of just adds to that. I mean, especially in the removal of classrooms and suspensions and expulsions, we know that unless you put into place programs that help support those students to help them correct behaviors, to help them work through some of the situations, that it only leads to further problems down the road, and then it's just going to, you know, fill our institutions of corrections and et cetera down the road.
And you're a teacher. Are you concerned about violence in the classroom?
Well, I think things have changed dramatically in my 23 years of teaching. I think students come with a lot more baggage, and I think what I've seen happen in the years, kids are kids. Simple as that. They're always going to be kids, and that we have to always keep that in mind. But the kind of supports that we provide for kids is critically important. So that means we have to have the right number of counselors in our schools. We have to have the right number of social workers in our schools. We have to have support staff that will help us in our classrooms. We've seen all those things over the last, I don't know how many years, get cut. We have less and less adults in a school. So I taught in a middle school. We had almost 1,000 students. What, you know, a good safe ratio of adults to students, we want to make sure that that's in place.
We're hearing from the Wisconsin Education Association Council about a draft bill. It's called the Teacher Protection Act. The council is opposing the legislation for a number of reasons, including that it infringes on a student's privacy rights. Join into the discussion, 800-642-1234. Do you support or oppose this Teacher Protection Act? Join into the discussion or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Back after these news headlines. The best way to help students in need is to provide them with the programs and counseling that keeps them involved in their school community. That's a line from a letter the Wisconsin Education Association Council sent to Representative Jeremy Thiesfeld last week after reviewing the draft bill called the Teacher Protection Act. the council is not supporting the bill. Ron Martin stays with us. He's the president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council, or WEAC, and a social studies teacher in Eau Claire. You can join in this conversation, 800-642-1234. Are you a teacher who's been assaulted or threatened by a student? How concerned are you about violence in the classroom? You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Bree from southeastern Wisconsin says she's a teacher. She says the protocol now requires her to remove other students instead of taking an explosive student out of the classroom, which means other students are significantly affected and her classroom can be destroyed. She says she's concerned about the safety of her students if nothing changes. Ron Martin, what about Bree's concern over student safety here?
Sure. That is a concern, and I'm appreciative of the fact that Bree is concerned about her students. The way I would respond to Bree is to have her work with her administration. That's a policy they've set through what's required by law, putting together school discipline program for the entire district. So I would, rather than, say this law will change what's happening in her situation, it has to come through her school district. So she needs to work collaboratively with her administration. And I think the administration from that district needs to take her perspective and make sure that that's accounted for.
Thanks, Bree, for that. We also got a message from John who says that full collective rights be returned to teachers. They are the experts in their classrooms, John says, and should have a voice in determining school working conditions. How would
you Absolutely.
Do teachers need more of leverage? Do they need to have more latitude to make decisions regarding the safety in their own classrooms? Ron Martin.
Yeah, I think we're hearing that all across the state. As I travel and visit different school districts and meet with teachers all across the state, since Act 10 was in place, I think teachers feel stifled. I don't think teachers' voices are accounted for like they should be. And that was always in place under collective bargaining. When we had meet and confers, you'd have the opportunity to meet with your principal, you would have building committees. Some of that's not happening. Now, for the most part, it is happening in some places, and so we have to take a look at where it is happening, emulate that. But again, I agree with John. If it's guaranteed in the law, it will happen.
Let's go to Mike now in Madison. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Well, I guess that last comment kind of gets into my point. What I hear your caller, I know he's from WEAC. He wants more.
Oh, Mike, are you there? Oh, there we go. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, the last comment your caller just made kind of hits on the point. We just heard from your WEAC representative, more collective bargaining again. It has nothing to do with student discipline. The real issue here is when are we going to prioritize the kids who come to school who are ready to learn and want to learn and stop worrying about some politically correct way, collaboration, all these nice soft words. When you have troublemakers in the classroom, get them out. Let's start prioritizing the kids who show up to school to learn. Stop impacting their education. And again, more money, more money, more money to simply say we're going to do more programs for those kids and those families who don't take their responsibility seriously, who don't want to take advantage of the educational opportunities. Stop we got to collect more tax, got to do more.
Okay,
more.
And Mike, I want to just stop there because I know Ron wants to respond here. And this Teacher Protection Act, Ron, would keep students away for up to 2 days. Removing students from the classroom for up to 2 days to give, teachers more time away from this disruptive student or the student who needs other resources. What do you make of that?
Well, I think under the current law, so this law says 2 days, but under the current law, a student can be suspended or removed from a classroom for up to 5 days. So it's 1 to 5 days under the current law. And then during that 1 to 5 days, there's an opportunity for the teacher to work with the administration to be able to set up a plan that works best for that particular student. Again, our ultimate goal is to return the child whole to the classroom. That's our ultimate goal.
But Mike
so the current
is saying, let's
already
just,
addresses that.
Mike is saying, let's just focus on the students who want to be in the classroom and get their learning done.
That is the common answer for us being able to deal with students. But we know that even the students that want to be there to learn sometimes have bad days. And sometimes they come from situations that cause them to have maybe disruptive behaviors. And so it's never the same students. It's all of our students. We have to be able to work with all of our students. And that's the beauty of our public schools. We take into account all kids, no matter their backgrounds, where they come from. And it's our duty and our obligation to help them and to support them and to provide the kinds of resources that are needed so that we don't create a system of haves and have-nots.
Mike, thanks for the call. Let's go to Jim now in Green Bay. Hi, Jim. Go ahead.
Good morning. I think Jim kind of took my steam a little bit here. It appears, anyhow, at least in the Green Bay School District, that it is just continuation of programs, continuation of counselors, continuation of IEPs, continuation of all the things that are for the 5 or 10% of the people, and then the 90 or 95% of the students that show up behave themselves and take advantage of what the school system has to offer. They don't get everything that there is available because all the resources, the money, the time, the classroom space, everything is being taken up by that 5 to 10%.
So not enough money to do all the things that need to be done in education.
That has been an ongoing situation for years as we take a look at how we fund our special needs population through both federal and state and how we're seriously underfunding that. But I do have significant concerns with the fact that, you know, these, for the most part, our schools in Wisconsin are safe schools. We have welcoming schools, and these situations are isolated when it gets to a point where it's very severe, and we need to be able to provide the kind of resources to educators so that they can deal with these situations that don't occur on a day-to-day basis. This isn't happening every day in our schools, so we need to be able to provide to teachers ways to be able to work with very difficult students.
And Ron Martin, you also pointed out that special education situations is not being taken into account in this act.
Right, and I think there are specific and special laws that go along with special education students. They have some different rights under IDEA, which is federally legislated, but also with their IEPs. So we want to make sure that their individual education programs are followed and fully implemented and that they're fully funded. So if a student who does have violent behavior or tendencies to lash out, particularly some of our students that are under emotionally or behaviorally disturbed modification plans, we need to make sure and provide those kind of resources, but to train the educators who work with those students so that they have the skills necessary to make sure that those students are successful.
Jim, thanks. Let's go to Zaland in Sturgeon Bay. Go ahead, Zaland.
Hi. I actually had a different point to talk about, but I think I want to share my personal story. I moved to Sturgeon Bay with my family from Chicago in 2008, and before coming to Sturgeon Bay, I was a very, very troubled student. I mean, I was always in the principal's office, and I had very bad grades. The attitude of the teachers in Wisconsin really changed my life. I was a troubled kid in my freshman year in high school, too, in Sturgeon Bay, but they never treated me the way that this bill would interpret to treat me. They never publicly shamed me. If I was ever a bad student, they would, you know, set me aside after class or tell me, you know, what's going on. They would counsel me. And that kind of a support structure was life-changing. I went from a 2.2 GPA in middle school to 3.6 GPA in high school. I mean, it was life-changing for me. And I just don't think that this kind of public shaming and, pointing the finger at these students is really a good method. I think they need to be counseled and just be heard and understood. Thank you.
Zalan, thank you so much for your personal story. Ron Martin, it looks like second chances here really helped in Zalan's case.
Absolutely, and I can't say it any better than what he said. Powerful story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a very powerful story. So your takeaways on this act, you know, how concerned are you going forward on the recommendations being proposed here by Representative Thiesfeld and what the final outcome will be on this bill?
Yeah, I mean, we have concerns, obviously, because we care very much about the kids that we work with, all kids, no matter who's in our classrooms. And so that's important to us. We want to make sure that every kid is safe and that we have a good learning environment. We'll work with whatever legislation is passed out there, but the key takeaways for me are that when we pass legislation or when we look at legislation like this, we need to take into account all parts, and we need to take a look at what already exists. And if something already exists, let's make sure that that's being properly and fully enforced, not just part of it, but all of it. And we also need to take a look at how we resource and fund our schools. I know people say you can't just keep throwing money at schools, and it's not throwing money at schools. There's accountability when they put these kinds of programs in place to support educators, to support communities, to support families. And I think that, you know, a lot of the things that we put in play, the WEAC Educator Protection Principles, really are very powerful and can make a huge difference in our schools.
So do you, final question here as we wrap up in the next 30 seconds, do you think that we need this Teacher Protection Act?
We don't need it. We already have something that exists.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me this morning.
Ron Martin is the president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council, or WEAC, and he's also a social studies teacher in Eau Claire. Earlier this hour, we talked to Republican State Representative Jeremy Thiesfeld about his draft bill. It's being called the Teacher Protection Act. He is circulating it beginning yesterday, circulating it right now with lawmakers. He said he had about a dozen who've signed on as of yet. It aims to remind teachers of their rights and restore classroom discipline. The bill is circulating right now for co-sponsors. This hour was produced by Bill Martins and Keely Baltina, with technical direction by executive producer Michelle Johnson. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and this conversation is on the Ideas Network. Stay with us.